starting, we're getting into the last part of the Siman Kuf and Hey, the discussions of Chazaka and Kinyan and Mechila of Nizkei Shechenim. Speak for a few minutes, kind of introduction a little bit to that area. So, Chazaka in Chashan Mishpat and Nizikin is a big sugya. We have the famous Parachesk Sabatim, is all about the rules of Chazaka. We know that normally a chazaka on when you claim that you bought a house and you want to prove it by saying that you've lived there for a long time, the chazaka has to be gimel shanim. You have to have lived there for 3 years. That's what the whole chesed batim is about. You also have to have taina. If you just live there and but you don't claim he ever sold it to you, you just say, well, I lived there for 3 years. Nobody said anything to me. That's called chazaka below taina. That does not work. So if you actually claim that you bought the house, you have to have both chazaka of gimel shanim. You have to have A, the fact that you lived there for 3 years, prove that you lived there. B, you have to have taina. You have to have a concrete, specific claim of why you think you're entitled to it. He gave it to me, he sold it to me, I lost the document. You have to have some taina. When it comes to chazakas of, you're not actually claiming you bought it outright, when you're in a chazaka of either what we call cheskes tashmishin, which is, let's say, like an easement, the right to use his property. You're not claiming it's yours, the title outright. You're just claiming that he gave you the right to use it. Or in our sugya, the discussion of cheskes nizakin, the right to do something which injures him or inconveniences him, which would normally be us, but you're claiming that you have a chazaka. In these cases, there is a major dispute among the Rishonim whether you need chazaka v'taina. As I was discussing before, there are actually, I think, four shitas in the Rishonim. Some say you need Gimel Shanim B'Taina, as you always do, the same as when you claim you bought it. Some say you need Gimel Shanim, but not Taina. You don't need Taina, but you do need Gimel Shanim. Some say you need Taina, but you don't need Gimel Shanim. Some say you need neither. In any event, these are the chazakas of Tashmishin and Nizakin, which are similar. Tashmishin, the right to use the property. Nizakin, the right to cause damage to the property. And there are also rules of chazaka, but the rules are, there are some differences between these and the regular Gimel Shanim of purchasing karka, and that's what the rest of the siman is going to be touching on. Now, the Achronim struggle a little bit trying to understand what does it mean you have a chazaka for nizakin. The Nesivos, for example, in this big Nesivos that we touched on earlier in the Limud a few months ago, the Nesivos says, if Nizkei Shechenim would be the same as regular nizikin, it wouldn't make it like the same as the famous Arbavos nizikin, Shar, Bar, Eish, Regel, Karen. He says there would be no chazaka. Siva says, can you have a chazaka that my shar is going to go around and trample all over your vegetables? There's no such chazaka, he says. Can't have a chazaka like that. Doesn't explain why. He just declares it as if it's self-evident that you have no chazaka on Nezikin. Later, however, later in the Sivas, a couple of Sivas down, the Sivas engages this question in a little more detail. Later, I'm not sure what changed exactly, but he doesn't seem to take for granted that no chazaka nizakin. Later, he invokes a sugya, which is also brought by the Ksos, the sugya of krak susi. Just discuss a little bit the overview of that sugya, because many achronim invoke it in the context of our siman. The halacha is, if Reuven tells Shimon, you may tear my garment, in other words, you may destroy my property, and you'll be potter, I won't charge you for it, you won't have any liability. Or even he doesn't say that, he just says, feel free to break my window. So the halacha is, if you say krak susi, then he is potter. In certain cases, you have to also say the words explicitly be potter, but in the general case, in the simple basic case, if I say, feel free to break my window, and you go ahead and take me up on it, and you break it, then you are potter. Why you potter? How does that work? I mean, intuitively, I guess it makes sense. I told you can do it, so I can't charge you for it. But in Lamdas, in terms of specific legal reasoning, we find two different explanations in the Achronim. So Sachoshin, back into Mereish Mamvav, articulates in some detail that the pshat is, you can't be a mazik if you had permission. The fundamental definition of mazik is doing something without permission. Doing something with permission is not defined as mazik. The Ksos therefore says that when you're dealing with other types of chiyuvim that are not based on mazik, the fact that you said you can do it makes no difference. Specifically, the Ksos is talking about a din where Big machlokas, Rishonim and Achronim. If I say that you can come and eat my food, I don't tell you it's free. I don't tell you I'm charging you. And sometimes the context makes it clear. Like I think everyone agrees, if I invite a guest to my house for Shabbos, it's understood that I'm not going to send him the bill. But in some cases where it's not so clear, it's not the actual case that Tzitzis is talking about is a kind of odd sounding tshuva in the Truma Sedeshin. What happened was a couple got married. The in-laws agreed. One set of parents agreed, what they used to call kest, that they would support the couple for I think 4 years or a fixed number of years. The time expired, but the arrangement remained in place. They kept eating, boarding at one of the parents. Then the son-in-law got into some fight with his in-laws, so he sent him a bill for the last 2 years. The first 4 years, he understood that he was contractually bound to support him, but he sent him a bill for the previous 2 years. The guy says, "But you let me eat her." He says, "Well, I never said it was free." So the question the Poskim articulate is, and there's a lot of literature on this, when you give somebody something and you don't specify that it's either free or I'm going to charge for it, so do you have the right to charge or not? The Truma Sedeshin says you do. So the Ksos is trying to explain, how is that different from Krak Susi? If I say, you can break my window, I cannot send you the bill. You don't say, you can break it, but you pay for it. So what's the difference? So the Ksos explains that when you say Krak Susi, the pshat is, since you had permission, it can't be defined as mazik. So it's not mazik. It's not mazik, then you're pacha. Ashenke, when you say, eat my food, acholi me, you can board at my table, the chiyuv is not mazik. You know, I'm not charging you as a mazik. The chiyuv is, nen, if you benefit from me, even if you're not a mazik, you're chayiv. Even in cases where it doesn't fit the definition of mazik for various reasons, you're still chayiv. So the Ksos says, it makes sense. That's why Krak Susi doesn't apply. Krak Susi is not mechila. If it's mechila, you're always pater, whatever the cause of action is. Krak Susi is not mechila. Krak Susi means you have permission to do the action that you did, and therefore you can't be defined as a mazik. But anything else, you could be.
So just the fact that it went on for 4 years, I guess you couldn't apply the concept of chazaka there. Because there was a specific contractual agreement for 4 years.
Right, exactly. That's a fundamental principle in chazaka. Anything that you did because you had a concrete right to do doesn't form a chazaka. So, for example, it talks about, let's say, a husband and his wife's property doesn't get a chazaka because, well, let's say he says, I've been eating your property for the last 10 years. Well, that's because husbands eat their wife's property. So, chazaka is only when you eat property which you should not have a right to do, then you could turn around and say, well, I was eating it and you didn't say anything, so it must be that it's mine, either because tacitly you're mochel, or because it must be that I'm telling the truth, that you gave me the right to do it. But if you had a specific right and the right, that's one of the main rules of chazaka, then you don't get a chazaka. So Post can begin to invoke the sugya of Krak Susi. So that's one approach to Krak Susi, that it's a contradiction to the definition of mazik if you have permission. The other approach is to say mechila, that it's a mechila. It's a mechila in advance, even though normally Post will discuss the question of mechila b'davar shlo bala olam. You can't buy something or sell something that was lo bala olam. So maybe you can't be mochel something that's lo bala olam. The chiyuv doesn't kick in until he damages it. So who said that works? Some achronim learn that it's a form of mechila. Other achronim learn that it's a form that just means that it vitiates the definition of mazik. You can't be a mazik if you had permission.
So in the case of, like the case of where the guy was paying for the son-in-law for a long time, it's been a long time. Isn't there was a concept of if you're mashbi on something shlo bala, davar shlo bala olam, you are mechayiv yourself to.
Yeah, so there is a halacha that if you take an oath to do something regarding a davar shlo bala olam, you are chayiv. Some poskim understand that to mean the shvua itself is binding. Other poskim to say that once you take a shvua, then even the kinyan becomes valid, because once you had such a firm state of mind that you even swore to do it, then that level of miras das. But yes, if you take a shvua on lo bala olam, you're bound to follow the shvua.
And also, if something is something, some people, but it's possible, as a person might recall correctly, that if something is available in the shuk, even though it's not available in your house, it's still considered.
Yes, there is a Rambam, a Shulchan Aruch, they talk about this in Hilchos Mechira. If you say, I'll provide you with a commodity in a month's time, and the commodity is readily available on the commodity markets, some say that kinyan is binding because even though you don't own it, it's just a formality to get a hold of it. Some posts can say that works too. Yes.
So in the case where we had, I don't remember this one inside the Truma Sedeshin case. So in that case, it would depend on what kind of arrangement he would have with his father-in-law. If his father-in-law just simply wrote on a document saying I'm going to feed you for 4 years, he'd come back and bill him anyway because of the concept of mechila that you're talking about, or would it just simply be because of the fact that he'd come back and bill him because it's more like a Yehu Shalom Midas case, and the fact that these things are available in the Shuk, it's not Davar Shlo Bala Olam.
I have to give that a little further thought.
Okay.
I don't have to worry about it.
Thank you for considering it.
Okay, so when we get back to Kufnun Hay, So the Kseres and the Sivas both invoke the sugya of Krak Susi in different ways. The Kseres wants to know, what is the whole idea of getting a chazaka of Niske Shenim? Chazaka means, again, either tacitly he's being mochel, or implicit, or it's a raya that he actually was mochel explicitly, either way, some kind of mechila. So the Kseres asks, Krak Susi itself, even though it's true that if I say Krak Susi, you can do it, that, and then you go ahead and do it, your potter, but the halacha is, until you do it, I have the right to retract it. Until you go ahead and say that you actually break the window, I can say, no, I changed my mind, don't break the window after all. I have the right to retract at any point. So the Kseres brings this question from his brother, how does the chazaka of Tishkanim work? That it should always be like Krak Susi, I'm giving you permission to do it. So it's like saying, break my window. But I can always retract that until the window is actually broken. The hezek of Nitzkechenim is ongoing, so I can always turn around and say, okay, whatever you did until now, I'm not going to charge you. Even if I have the right to charge you, whatever you did until now, I said you can do it, so I'm not going to charge you. But from today on, stop doing it, because I have the right to withdraw my Krak Susi. So the Kseres says, a very, very important approach. He says the idea of chazaka of Nitzkechenim, it becomes like samach beheter. We've seen throughout the siman in different contexts, if you put something down, beheter, you don't have to move it, and that's apparently a din of Nitzkechenim. Like the Nesivah said, the Tishkanim works with its own rules, its own internal logic, which are different in some ways from the Zikin, but whatever the Hezber is, it so says, we see that according to that the Poskim say that when you put something down, Beheter, you get the right to leave with that permanently. And even though some Poskim say that when you put it down, Beheter, because you're first, because he wasn't there yet, and then he comes, you have to move it, that's only because he never allowed you to do it. You put it down because he wasn't there. Now that he's there, you have to move it. But in a case where he explicitly gave you permission to put it down, it doesn't have to work just with Krak Susi. The way it works is that it becomes samach beheter, and that's the rule of Nitzkechenim. It's not the same thing, so like the Nesivah says, this wouldn't work for the Arbavas Nezikin. This is a special din of Nitzkechenim, where putting it down beheter gives me the right to let it stay. That's how, like we explained all the way in the beginning, Chazal, Nitzkechenim is all about balancing the rights of the neighbors. So one of the fundamental rules of Nitzkechenim is that if you put it down beheter, you can leave it there. So that's what chazaka means. Chazaka means that you had authorized permission to put it down, and that itself gives you the right to leave it there. Not because of mechila, not because of it's not a mazik, but because you became samach beheter, you became the first one. That gives you the right. That's the idea of Kseres, that it works with an idea of samach beheter. The first Nesivus just says that this wouldn't work by regular mazik, and doesn't explain why this Kishenim is different. The second Nesivus we mentioned says that you need a kinyan. He says, in a chanami, just telling you it's okay, you can do it there verbally, even if you can prove that he said that he gave you verbal permission, wouldn't be enough without a kinyan. Because at this point we just said that Krak Susi, you always have the right to retract before the hezek is done. So when a chanami says you need a kinyan, he brings this from the Bach, he says you need a kinyan. Kinyan makes it stronger. Krak Susi itself, he implies, once you had a kinyan, you wouldn't be able to change your mind. He says, he brings the Bach says that the reason you can be chozer, it's like Krak Susi, we have the right to be chozer, so that's just without a kinyan you can be chozer, but with a kinyan ma'alim hadavar. And that's true for all nezikin. Now, not just a special nezikin we're going to see in the next few sifim, which are special rules. For all nezikin, without a kinyan you can be chozer because it's like Krak Susi. With a kinyan, somehow it's different. Now, again, I'm not sure if the nezivus means that with a kinyan, even for the Arbavas nezikin, you would have the right to do it. If you make a kinyan that you can have your dogs trample on my flower beds, that would work, or that's only in his Kishkenim, which for some reason is different. But in any event, that's the Kseres and the Nesivus. The Rush really, really touches on this question earlier, much earlier. The Rush is going in the Sugya in the beginning of Bava Basra about Hezek Riyah, which is also a special form of his Kishkenim. Simon Kufim Dalet, Kufim Gimel are all about Hezek Riyah. Hezek Riyah is a kind of a special subset of his Kishkenim with some of its own rules, its own logic. The Rush is talking about a case where there are two neighbors and they really have to build a fence between them to stop each other from looking at each one has the right to insist that the other one contribute toward a fence. They shouldn't be able to gaze into each other's property. The Rush talks about whether Mechila would work, and the Rush says, yes, it would. And the Rush says, why? The halacha of Krak Susi is you can change your mind. So let's say today we're neighbors, we each agree, we're not going to build a fence. I'm Mechil you, you're Mechil me, we're not going to build fences. A year later, I say, you know, I'm tired of having you look at my property. I changed my mind. Let's build a fence. You're mochel. So the Rosh says, yeah, but Krak Susi, the halacha is, you can always retract your mechila. So again, you can't retract your mafreya, because up till now, you can't charge anyway if that's a career, but mikanel haba. It should be like I was chozer, so I can't make you do it. So now I should be able to make you do it. So the Rosh says, no. Here, the chiyuv is to build a wall. It's like a chiyuv mamon. Each one has the right to demand the other one pay for building a wall. We look at that as a chiyuv mamon, not as a chiyuv nezek. The chiyuv is the chiyuv mamon. Once you're mochel the mamon goes, the chiyuv mamon evaporates and can't be reinstated. The later Achronim have a hard time with this. They say, good, the chiyuv to build a wall is mamon, but what happened to the underlying hezek? The underlying hezek is hezek riyah. So as long as I retract my reshus, we're back to where we started. This hezek riyah here. So somehow the rush feels this is a special case because of the chiyuv to build a wall is a chiyuv mamon. Regular in its the rush seems to say would taka be like raksusi, and that would mean that I have the right to retract my permission at any time, which is what the Ksos and Sivis are saying here. So what is the idea of Nitzkei Shcheinim, of the Chazak of Nitzkei Shcheinim? What happened to my right to retract? And Sivis is in a Chanami, you could retract unless you have a Kenyan. And the Ksos is saying, the Svara, that once I let you do it, it becomes like Samach Beheter, and Samach Beheter itself gives me the right to leave it there and not have to withdraw, not have to remove it later.